Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
Hey folks, it's Cameron here. So it's probably obvious enough in the title and description, but big news coming out this morning that Aoife Wafer is signing for the Premiership women's rugby side, Harlequins. Very exciting news for one of Ireland's standout players at the moment, and a huge move for her. So I was lucky enough to speak with Aoife and her future boss, Harlequins women's head coach, Ross Chisholm, ahead of the announcement. Really great stuff in here on Aoife, the decision behind the move, why she thought now was the time to make the leap over to Premiership Women's Rugby. She'll be joining the likes of Edel McMahon, Niamh Jones, Dorothy Wall. With Ross, really interesting story for him. Obviously, you might know he was a former utility back for Harlequins men's team back in the day. He's made the move into coaching. This year just gone was his first year coaching the side, and he's had experience with the likes of Scott Beamond. Alex Codling was a coach while he was there, so some really great stuff from him. So we thought we'd share this exclusive chat with you on the day of the announcement. Hope you enjoy, and yeah, you're going to hear from Ross later on, but first, Aoife Wafer on a really exciting day.
So, very big day. I'll talk about this very exciting move in a second. Just give us an update. How are you feeling? How's the knee injury?
Yeah, it's going well. Like, I'm in really good hands in the RFU. Like, their medical team are world class, so they're looking after me very well. Keeping a close eye on everything I do, I suppose. But I'm excited to get back in with the girls, like, when that kind of off season is done. So yeah, no, I should be grand for training and all that crack. Just have to keep kind of building back up.
Great stuff. Okay, very exciting news today. We can go a number of ways with this, but I should just ask a very simple question that probably has a complicated answer. Why Quins?
I think, I came out and looked at a few clubs and that kind of thing, and Quins kind of just stood out to me in terms of how family-based they were, the history that's in it, and how they play as well. So yeah, like, I think coming out to the club and actually seeing it for myself, like, a few months ago, was very important for me, because I got to meet a lot of the girls as well and kind of see what they were about. So yeah, no, like, I think it's the right move for me right now, and yeah, hopefully I'll be able to make the most of it.
Did you have any conversations with Edel or Cleena or any of the players who are based in PWR currently about what to expect or what their advice might be?
Yeah, like, I had a couple of good conversations with a few of them, and like, I think they were quite excited about it as well to have another Irish person over in the league. But yeah, like, I think at the end of the day, like, I want to test myself against the best in the world, and the PWR right now has a lot of internationals in it from everywhere, really, and it has the best players in the world. So to be able to come over and test myself against those will be crucial, I think, for what I want to do in the future.
Yeah, just to inverse that then, because I, by my maths, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, there's no other Irish players currently in the Quinn squad.
Yeah, like, none that are on the current squad, but you have the likes of Emma Sword who obviously has an Irish cap and that kind of thing. So yeah, and like, there has been Irish players who have played with Quinns, whether, like, Dervla Nicobar played with Quinns, like, years back, or Anna Cable has played with Quinns, or Jill Burke, or all of these players. So there definitely has been a few Irish wearing the Quinns jersey over the last few years, but yeah, not currently, I don't think.
Okay, because that's an interesting piece to this too. I remember, like, you've put it on record that you want to be one of the best players in the world. So was part of this maybe the temptation sometimes is to go in where you know a load of players from the Ireland setup? Was part of this maybe going in and saying, I'm going to try and put myself out of my comfort zone and play with the world's best and play with a wider range of different rugby cultures so that I can learn as much as possible towards getting towards where you feel could be your optimum, basically?
Yeah, like, I definitely thought about it, to be fair. Like you have clubs that obviously have a couple of Irish girls, and like Gloucester and Exeter have a few, whether it's Sam and Eve over in Gloucester or Tricky, Clee and Darrow over in Exeter. So yeah, like, it's definitely something you look at, but like, I think at the end of the day, like, Quins were the ones that kind of jumped out to me when I was trying to pick a club and see which kind of suited me. So yeah, like, I just can't wait to test myself against the world's best here. Like, you already have the likes of Ellie Kildon here. You have Claudia Peña, like who is a name I'd say we'll be hearing a lot of in the coming years. And then obviously in the back row you have the likes of Alex Kalner and Jay Conkle, who, like, I'm so excited to be able to try and pick apart their brains with a few things, and hopefully they'll be able to learn something from me too.
Brilliant. It's very exciting, and yeah, the Ellie Kildon factor is very cool too. Just a couple of questions on Ireland. Did you stay with the camp for the last couple of weeks ahead of the Scotland game, or did you go back and do your own rehab?
Yeah, so we're actually based in the High Performance Centre in Blanchardstown. So any player that's rehabbing is rehabbing in that centre as well. So it's actually very good. So you obviously have the likes of Sam or Natasha Bean or Aaron King, like, or even Doro now, who are all injured, but they're still on our squad. They're still part of our team. So it's important for us that we stay together and that everybody is still one of us. So to be able to kind of train and rehab in the same venue is really important. And it means that you can kind of move your rehab around to be able to go out and watch training or be in meetings or that kind of thing. Like, even have like when Baden Parsons was coming back from her injury, like, she was still involved in all the meetings, and rehab would kind of move around to be able to accommodate her to still be in the team. Which is really important for us, that we can still get our details in, we can still be a rugby player as well as then a rehabber behind the scenes.
And did you go over to Edinburgh with the team for the final round?
Yeah, I flew over myself, so I'm lucky enough that I'm an Aer Lingus brand ambassador. So, they were very kind to me and sorted me out to go out with the team, to go out to see the team. And then my parents had flown over because they follow the team everywhere anyways. But yeah, like, I think the amount of Irish that went out to that game was absolutely phenomenal. Like, you could hear the chants around the stadium, and the Hive was absolutely buzzing, whether it was Scottish fans or Irish fans. So it was a tough game to watch personally up in the stands, knowing that I couldn't do anything to help the team. But I think at the end of the game we just came together and we kind of put down our marker and what we thought about the game, and then it was all about what's next.
It must have been tough because, notwithstanding the scoreline, like, that seemed like a game that was made for you. It was so physical, and the players were knocking lumps out of each other. It felt like a cup final, basically. And even the finale kind of just accentuates that. That must have been really hard to watch, knowing that, if I was out there, I really would have had a good time, first off, but I would have been able to really help, and maybe the scoreline might have been different.
Yeah, like, you never really know what would happen if you play or if you don't play, I suppose. Like, it's at the end of the day, like, I back the girls to win games whether I play or not, because at the end of the day, like, they're the best players in Ireland, and I back them to do anything. So for me it was just about helping them to be the best that they could possibly be on Saturday. So, like, in the lead up to the game, it was how do I help the team. And like, it's team first. Like, it's always about the team before the individual themselves. So yeah, to still be a part of it over in Scotland, and like, I was still allowed to go out onto the pitch afterwards to get into the team huddle and to come into the dressing room and obviously still go out with the team afterwards for a few celebrations, but or not celebrations, but to just go out. But yeah, like, I think it's important that we stay together as a team. But yeah, it was a frustrating watch, because I think, like, it's hard to watch your team and watch your friends kind of lose in that way.
Have there were conversations yet around what the next couple of months look like? I mean, obviously the World Cup is on the horizon now, but particularly with the news that Aaron and Dorothy are going to miss it, and they were it, Dorothy, the picture of her so devastated when she knew herself, you could see it on her face that this wasn't good and this could be a long term. Has there been an added, because it's a World Cup, so you're obviously very motivated already, but an added bit of, we've got to do it for Aaron and Dorothy and for any players who mightn't make it.
Yeah, first of all, it's absolutely gutting for the girls, because, like, the work that they've put in to be on the squad, and like, we pride ourselves at the minute that we're desperate to be part of a successful Ireland, and for them to be ruled out so far away from the World Cup is it's devastating. Like, and yeah, like, it's really hard then as a team to try and fill their boots, because they're two players who have such influence on our team, and they're just key players. They're world class in what they do. And like, I think they've both had outstanding years, like, in what they've done. So yeah, like it's going to be really hard to play without them, to be quite honest with you. But I know that there's girls that are working behind the scenes that haven't got a chance yet, or even that have, in the likes of Jane Clossy, and they're biting at it to have a go. So yeah, like I think it's gonna probably put up a bit more competition for us, like to try grab a jersey. And I know that the two girls will be supporting us every step of the way, and they'll still be in the HBC, so they'll still be very much involved in our squad.
Very final question then. Is the Red Scrum Cap coming to Harlequins as well?
Don't think I'd be able to play without it. Like I played with it in Dubai, like when it was God knows what heat at 1 o'clock in the day. So yeah, no, like I think it's just part of me now, isn't it? Like even I was asked earlier if I had to change color, what would it be? And I was like, I genuinely don't think I could change color. Like, so yeah, no, it has to come with me.
So if they try to foist a sort of quarters Harlequin style scrum cap, you said, listen,
No.
it's in the contract, guys.
Yeah, I think I'll stick with the red ones.
Aoife, it's very exciting. Congratulations on the move. Really looking forward to seeing what you produce over there and what comes up over the next couple of months. And I'm sure we'll be speaking to you before everyone heads over and is on the World Cup train. But for now, thanks a mil.
Oh, cheers. Thank you very much.
Hey Ross, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Not too bad. It's a very exciting day, of course. I suppose, very simply, why Aoife Wafer? What was it about her that made you want to sign her for Quins?
Yeah, I suppose it kind of starts with sort of the DNA of Harlequins Rugby Club and how we want to try and play and the style and brand that we want to be here. And I suppose we sort of keep a close eye on all international rugby. And I suppose with Aoife, we sort of saw a break onto the international scene, and was someone that thought actually as a the way she plays the game was something someone that could really suit how we wanted to play. And you sort of watch her on her journey. I mean, I think it was, I think two Six Nations ago, she had a really strong tournament. We sort of watching her progress and thought, oh, actually, there's really good progression there. And then I suppose the sort of really defining moment was we watched her play against the Black Ferns and thought, there's some, real star quality there. And I thought she was, throw some big terms around, but almost like really announced herself on the world class stage and a really world class operator. And we saw that, and then we as do go for a real long and lengthy recruitment process to make sure we not only get the right rugby players but the right characters and the right personalities as well from both sides, to make sure that one, we're getting the right fit for our environment, but also that the player feels like they really belong to our environment. And we felt with Aoife that was just a really, really good fit, and we're delighted that she's going to join Harlequins next season.
Yeah, it's very, very exciting, even from an Irish perspective, with what's coming up down the track later this year. But did Alex Codling and your relationship with him, did that help maybe get that over the line? Or was there any touching basis to what can I expect from Aoife? Or did he play any role at all?
Not a huge amount, to be honest. Like Codders is a brilliant guy, really good. I got a lot of respect from a coach. I mean, Codders coached me at Quins when he was here, and I had a huge amount of respect for him and what he did. And he was my brother was coached by him in a closer capacity in that forwards thing. So I suppose I've continued to stay in touch with Codders in his coaching journey. And I spoke about when he took on the Ireland job. I was like, congratulations, amazing to see you taking on that role. And really exciting. It was something that he was really passionate and really excited about. And actually, he sort of mentioned early on in his journey, was like, oh, there's some quality players here, and Aoife is one of them. And we had not a discussion about, I mean, this would have been a little while ago, but actually how high quality of a player she was, and staying in touch with him in his journey. And you've seen what he's done in Irish rugby recently. I mean, he's a phenomenal guy. So yeah, really, really rate Codders. Got a really good relationship with him, stay in touch with him relatively regularly as you do in rugby, and he couldn't speak highly enough of Aoife when we have discussed it. But we don't go into too much nitty-gritties with that sort of thing, because actually it's you want to do right by the player as well. So Yeah, hopefully that answers the question.
Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of our very most prominent forwards, the likes of Adel McMahon, Dorothy Wall, Niamh Jones, they're all over playing in PWR, and we can see the benefit from our side in that they're getting to play with the best players and certainly the best forwards, you'd have to say, in the world game at the moment, certainly in Northern Hemisphere. What is it about Irish players that PWR coaches see? What are some of the traits that they can see specifically in an Irish example?
I suppose there's a couple of things here in sort of as I explain my answer. And I think look, there's kind of the PWR, like what the league is, what Irish rugby is doing at the moment. And I think under Scott is really fantastic. Like I've watched with really good interest on Scott's journey. Like we had I started with Quins when Scott was working with England, and we had some really good conversations when he used to come into Quins and watch. And I was more in a skills capacity at that time, and I really enjoyed the conversation with him, and I'm really pleased to see how well him and the Irish group are doing internationally, and they've made such good strides. And then having an Alex Codling in that coaching team as well, you watch it with real interest. And I think that's one thing, is you look at the quality of coaching that the players are getting at the moment. It's real high quality, and you can see that in the way they're playing at the moment, and the way they really tested England for a huge amounts of that game. And just shows the steps they've come from the year before. So that's one thing. And I think then you look at myself, my playing experience, against Irish players, I feel like it was always so competitive, and but really good people as well. And that's really important to us, is we have really good people. And I think that's sort of what it was interesting for us. And Aoife shows her real quality on the pitch. And then look, the PWR is such an exciting league. I think this season is going to be really, really competitive, with all teams sort of, you probably couldn't call the top four. And actually, Gloucester is the team we're all chasing at the moment, having won it back to back for 3 seasons. And that's why we wanted to sign the likes of an Aoife, to add, in my opinion, some real world-class quality to our already excellent back row. You look at Alex Callander, Jade Conkle, Nicole Wive in that back row, just to name a few. It's really, really exciting. And I think that's what we want to see in the PWR. That's what we want at Harlequins. And I think we want to have a strong relationship with all international sides. Whether that be the Roses, Ireland, and we've got a few Spanish players at the moment, like Claudia Pena. It was outstanding for us last season, having come from Spain. I'm not sure, she was a huge name and has really sort of like showed her quality and made a name for herself in the PWR. So it's definitely an exciting time for the PWR. And as I said, like, we're delighted that Aoife's joining us for this season.
Just to follow up on that Scott Beamon part, because certainly here it's been astounding the turnaround in the last 2 years since he's come in, from like taking a team from what was one of its lowest ebbs after a succession of low ebbs to suddenly challenging, like beating the Black Ferns, really putting it up to England in that game. What is it specifically about him as a skills coach from your perspective, and then going on to head coach? What is it that Scott Beamon brings? Is there one thing that you've learned from him?
Yeah, I mean, as I said to start, like, I didn't have a huge amount to do with him at that time. I did the skills. I worked with a guy called Gerard Mullen, who is also Irish. I don't know if you know Gerard. He's currently working with our Harlequins men's team and was head coach 2, 3 seasons ago, something like that. And I think they had a really good relationship. And actually, Scott played at Quins many years ago, so that was a nice little talking point for us. And I sort of came in and did some skills with the players, catch pass and kick, and he was there in his England capacity. And I suppose, look, it's one of those that Scott's worked at the international level at, a really successful Roses side as an assistant. He's probably seen all the stuff that's worked. He's probably taken some learnings and some real hurt from that World Cup final, that he's able to then shape his international journey with Ireland. And I think, you learn a lot from those exposures, but also he played to a really good level, and he's had a lot of coaching experience in different environments. So they would probably be the things that I would say that a strength from an outsider looking in, not knowing loads and loads about him, but also you look at the coaching team that you've got in place there with the likes Codders, as I said, I know really, really well, like the quality of what he can deliver, then coupled with Scott, with coupled then the other coaches, is kind of what makes a good coaching team. There's no point having one good coach and then everyone else really struggles around them. You need a team effort and a real team cohesion, because someone's got to do the forwards, someone's got to do the back, someone's got to do the D. And actually, that's what I think you sort of see at the moment with the successful teams, is their coaching team is really able to maximize what the squad's about.
Am I right in saying this year was your first as head coach of the women's team?
Yes.
How did
Yes.
you find that?
Yeah, I really loved it. It was, I was unfortunate and maybe fortunate looking back now to sort of, I tore my ACL when I was 21 playing for Quins, and basically someone just said to me, don't sit down on your bum all day, come and do some coaching with me. And I went to a school and started coaching, and I just loved it. And it was something that I was really passionate about and really wanted to do when I retired from the game. And I was lucky to have a 14-year career with Harlequins, and was part of the club's two premiership winning squads. And it was something that I always wanted to do. I wanted to be a coach. I wanted to go into coaching from that kind of 21-year-old, and sort of developed. And interestingly, I used to coach with Dave Ward, who was at Bristol coach. He was a coach Guildford when he was at Quins, Tuesday, Thursday night as his assistant. And then I took a head coach role and then enjoyed that. And then just constantly wanted, so when I retired, I knew I wanted to go into coaching. And I suppose, and then when I was offered the job to lead the program, it was something that, I was unbelievably privileged to be able to do and to be part of a Harlequins coaching setup. As lucky to be a player, it's brilliant to be part of the coaching setup as well.
Just very finally then, there's a groundswell of support now for the England women's team. Twickenham was another huge attendance. You, even in the PWR, had a record attendance. I think it was one of your games this year, against Leicester, was 18,000 just before New Year. Has the Rugby World Cup really taken hold there yet, or are we still a few months away before it gets to fever pitch?
I think it's just the momentum's just can continue to build. I think we saw it in the PWR this season. As I said, we had 18,000 to our big game this season where we played Leicester. Then you look at Lonomar effect with Bristol. They had 9,000 when we played Bristol. Here we had 8,000 at the Stoop where I'm talking to now. The crowds are really starting to get behind it, and the momentum's starting to build. I went to England, France a couple of weeks ago. I think there was 30,000, 40,000, something like that in the stadium. You really start to see it pick up, and it feels like, the momentum is really starting to build towards that now, particularly with the Six Nations done and the PWR season done. It's kind of all eyes on that, and I know that all the international players that we work with at Quins are really excited about that opportunity, and it's amazing as an Englishman to see a home World Cup.
Brilliant. Thanks a million, Ross. Best of luck for next season. Hopefully it's a beautiful relationship between yourself and Aoife.
Thanks so much, and look, we're really excited to have her here and delighted that she's signed with Quins.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.